We're going to have partial promptness. We're going to start at exactly 4:05.
Yeah, I think I got an email that said, you know, just for me to go ahead with the introduction. I'm happy to have her, you know, do what she wants to. But she said, I mean, I think she was going to be running late, so I kind of guessed. She had emailed Brian, and he relayed it to me.
Okay. Would you mind announcing
some people to the public
evaluation?
Okay,
great.
Okay. Okay, great.
And also the
okay. And which
north lobby?
Okay, great.
Tala Stalin. That means welcome in Ethiopian. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
All right, I've been practicing. That means welcome, and I want to welcome you all to this fine opportunity during National Hospice Month to learn a great deal about some of the efforts that our guest speaker, Sister Rose, is here to tell you about the amazing work that she's doing. Obviously, in healthcare as well as in education, purpose is a very important thing. I mentioned that this is National Hospice Month, and I, Talbot Fields, with Caris, are glad to have the opportunity to share with you the things that we've been learning as a partner of Hospice Ethiopia organization. Caris Healthcare we're one of the only hospices that serves the entire state of Tennessee, and even beyond that, we have taken it upon ourselves to work with and support Sister Rose's efforts there in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And I really appreciate you all taking the time to come and visit this. I want to ask you to please take a little bit of time once the lecture is over to fill out the response cards and to invite you all to join us in the North Lobby for a reception. And I want to pass on my appreciation to Vanderbilt for having us here and bringing us all together to learn and to experience this attachment to purpose that we all have in terms of caring for people, whether it be in the healing arts or in palliative care. It's vastly important what we do here, and it's important for us to notice and to support what is occurring with Sister Rose in Ethiopia, with Hospice Ethiopia organization. Thank you to CuraScript for the reception afterwards, and without further ado, I will introduce to you Tsigranda Yusefwesen. I've got it close on that one. All right. Thank you very much. Take it away, Sister Rose.
Shall I use this microphone? Because you can't hear me. Thank you for coming. I'm very pleased to be here today to present my experience in my country. My name is Sister Gerda Isfausen. It means rose, because I'm just saying rose because it is simple to pronounce for you my name. And I'm married. I have two children, and I'm registered nurse. And also, I'm specialized palliative care in Uganda, affiliated to Makerere University by Hospice Uganda Africa. Just to give you a highlights about Ethiopia. Ethiopia is one of the African country found in the Horn of Africa. And the boundary countries of Ethiopia is Eritrea, Sudan, Somali, and also Egypt are the boundary countries of Ethiopia. As you see, Djibouti, I forgot Djibouti. Okay. As you see, this is the map of Ethiopia, and the central part is Addis Ababa, where I am coming from, the capital city of Ethiopia. Okay, next.
I think it's important to note, and I'll make some interjections here and there.
Yeah.
82 million people.
Yeah.
How many hospices are there?
No, only one. the population, as you see, is 82 million. It is increasing every year. So it becomes 82 million. And it is the lowest income country in Africa. And just to show you that, just to give you highlights about HIV/AIDS in Ethiopia, I just brought these statistics for you. The adult prevalence rate is 15 to 49 age rate is 3.5%. Addis Ababa is 11.7%. Adult HIV incidence is 0.26%. HIV pregnancy is 106,000 per year. HIV positive births, 30,000. HIV positive person needing antiretroviral therapy is 278,000. AIDS orphans is 744,000. And also the total orphans in our country is 4,885,000. And people living with HIV AIDS is 1,320,000. And the new infection is 129,000. And the new AIDS cases are 137,000. And AIDS deaths due to the people who are dying by AIDS is 134,000. This is just to give you a highlight how the AIDS is affecting our country. And when we see the cancer, in our country there is no registry for cancer, but just I brought the statistics from the hospital where it is registered. And when we see that the number of the cancer patients who are present in our country is 120,500 people diagnosed with cancer every year. So it is a very problem now in our country. And we have also one hospital who is the people are getting treatments for cancer. It is called Black Lion Hospital. And also we have one oncologist for 82 million people in our country. And one radiotherapy machine is serving 82 million people in Ethiopia. And the patient diagnosed with cancer spends a minimum of 1 year. It is a waiting list. Once one person is coming from far away or from Addis Ababa, and if they need the service to this hospital, they have to wait until 1 year above. just to be seen by the doctor, not for the treatment. So imagine, this is how they are, the people are, you know.
Sister Rose shared with me that, that obviously this lends itself towards you know, more advanced stages of cancer. So when they do approach end of life, it's a much more difficult situation.
Yeah. You can see, you know, if a person is diagnosed for cancer, it might be the first stage or the second stage. Within this waiting days, the patient's disease will become worse, and the patient might die without getting anything. So, we can see it is very, you know, difficult and problematic in our country. And when we see the palliative care in Ethiopia, given the needs for hospice palliative care in Ethiopia is, I think we have only two trained palliative care nurses, but we don't have any doctors and other professionals with this palliative care profession. So after I learned this palliative care through distance learning, and when I'm finished, I'm just returned back to my country. Just to start this hospice, to give service for those who need the palliative care in my country. And you see these pictures, it is the office, Hospice Ethiopia office, and the project sites, just to see, to show you what it looks like.
You have five beds.
Yeah. In this, the hospice association have four beds for the those who needs care in the hospice. But our service is more of home-based care. It's not depending on the hospice center. More of home-based care. Hospice Ethiopia Association are the vision. Its vision is to make real the palliative care in our country. And the mission is to improve the quality of life for HIV/AIDS cancer patients through the alleviation of their suffering and reduce the burden on the family and other caregivers. This is our mission. And Hospice Ethiopia has its own value. The value of Hospice Ethiopia is community participation, community values, norms and knowledge, confidentiality, respect for privacy and dignity, advocacy for patients in the community, and partnership between all stakeholders. That's why I'm here. I develop partnership with Caris Healthcare, thanks for Caris Healthcare Hospice, Tennessee. They brought me here to share my experience with you. And the scope for care. I began with 10 patients when I am starting with my own resource. And then I am just scaled up by searching some supports. And the first support which I got is from Caris Healthcare. And my patients become 62. And day by day, the patient's number is increasing because we are working with the hospitals, health centers in our country. So whenever the patient needs our support, the health center and the hospitals are referred the patient to our hospice. So now it has become 168. It is beyond our capability and resource. We have difficulty of, you know, giving care for this 168 patients nowadays. And also cultural challenge. We have cultural challenge to implement palliative care in our country. One cultural challenge is cultural reluctance for patients to acknowledge the disease of HIV/AIDS. This is practically, it's obvious from any country, but it is more in our country, in Ethiopia. people with that disease, with disease often face extreme discrimination from peers. As you know, HIV/AIDS, the cause of HIV/AIDS is sexual transmission disease. And people are stigmatized when they are diagnosed by this disease. People that assume that the patients got this disease because of sex, so they don't want to disclose themselves to the others because they have fear of discrimination and stigma. And also people with this disease, whenever they are sick and they become bedridden, people are think that they have HIV/AIDS. So with all these reasons, the people are afraid of just to be with the community and to get the necessary medical care. And also we have lack of knowledge of trained health professionals. As I said, there is no trained health professionals with these professions. So we have got difficulties. What are the medical challenges we have in our country? One challenge is late disease presentations, because our country is, you know, have problems of knowledge of the health professionals, one. The other is lack of instruments to diagnose the exact diagnosis of the patients. So we have faced these difficulties. And also there are poor availability of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. As I said, radiotherapy, the people getting radiotherapy treatments in Blackline, we have only one machine, so it is very difficult for the people to get this radiotherapy treatment. The chemotherapy is very expensive for our people, so they couldn't afford to get these chemotherapy treatments. And also there is lack of training to use opioids. The doctors even, they are reluctant to order the opioids for those who are needs and suffers by the pain, because they think that if they are ordered the opioids for the patient, for the patients, the patient will develop addictions. So it's, you know, this creates because of lack of knowledge. We don't have to think about the addiction while the patient is suffering by the pain. And there are also challenges with regulatory and pricing obstacles, because some drugs are, you know, very expensive, and the patient cannot afford and get it. And also ignorance and false beliefs is the very big challenge in our country. When you see this slide, it shows that the palliative care is given in our country. How it is given in our country, just to show you that nowadays the palliative care is not end-of-life care. Palliative care is, we give palliative care for the patients from the day the diagnosis of the disease up to the end of life, and it includes bereavement care also. So just to give this care, we are using a comprehensive HIV care support in our country. This means that the patient is getting clinical care, medical nursing. That means the patient can get VCT whenever the person is needing VCT. And also the pregnant woman gets PMTCT whenever they want to get this service. And also we are using preventive therapy for those who are diagnosed for HIV/AIDS. As you know, HIV/AIDS patients are getting cotrimoxazole as a prophylactic dose. So they are getting that, and also the TB treatments as a prophylactic, as well as as a treatment. And also we are giving palliative care, nutritional support, and antiretroviral therapy. And also we are giving psychological support for those who need psychological support. We are giving counseling, orphan care, community support service, and spiritual support. And these four slides are linking each other. Whenever the patient needs all the supports, he will go and get the support where he can get it. Just to show you that these treatments are linking each other. Also, I want to show you the continuum of care of the HIV/AIDS, how it works. As I told you, it is first the person is coming to the VCT just to know himself that whether he's HIV positive or not. After he knows that he's HIV positive, he will look the support, what he needs, wherever he needs, he will come. For example, from the VCT, the counselors are referred to us. We are a non-governmental organization, as you see here. Non-governmental organization, our organization is non-governmental organization, so whenever the patient needs our support, from the VCT directly, they will refer the patient to us, and we just try to solve the patient problem accordingly. So not only with us, but the patient can refer also to the hospital and also to the health center. So all these services are linking each other just to give good support for the patients. We are doing pain assessments for the patients because it is very important, pain assessments. It doesn't mean that the patient is not complaining about the pain. It doesn't mean that the patient doesn't have pain. So we have to dig out that whether the patients have any kinds of problems. So we will take first the history of the patients. From the demography of the patients and all the histories about the pain. What things are making the worst of his pain? And also we are looking for the total pain. When we say the total pain is physical, it is holistic. Physical, social, psychological, and spiritual. So in each level, we are digging out that what problem the patients have, and we try to solve the problem of the patients. Also, we are just trying to find that does the patients have mild pain, moderate pain, and is it severe? So just to scale up and give the proper treatments for the patients. So we are using this scale Also, we are using the body charts. It's not, I'm not bringing the body chart here, but we are using the body chart because just to locate that, where the pain is, and if there is any mass, whatever, just we are recording that in the history of the patients. So after we do all these things, we might see first, instead of giving the drug, we might look for non-pharmacological management of pain. This consists of relaxation therapy. We will look at that, what things are relaxing the patient. So we just, after we know that, the things which is relaxing the patients. We are giving relaxation therapy, and also praying. Praying is not given by us, but the praying is given by the spiritual leaders. We are working with the spiritual leaders. We create networks and linkages with spiritual leaders. We have different religions in our country. We have Muslim, we have Christians, Orthodox, we have Christians, Catholic, and Protestants. According to the patient's religion, we have the religious persons who are helping our patients. So those, yes?
Just to sort of highlight for you, I mean, what she's talking about is a fundamental network, but the importance of the non-pharmacological and the importance of this network is even greater in Ethiopia because you have such a deficit of resources.
Yes.
Bringing together any sort of opportunity to alleviate the pain that's associated with the life-threatening illness HIV/AIDS, but bringing together these different sources. I mean, you have about seven tribes in Ethiopia. You all of them have separate languages. All of them have separate political views. You have three different major religions. And so you've got faith-based organizations. You've got community-based organizations. You have governmental organizations. So being able to pull all of these things together to make sure that the patient gets what they need has the pain relief is fascinating. There's some really, these are some very interesting methods that you can use.
Yeah, thank you for clarification. This is what I mean, you know, because we have a diversity of, tribes and religions. So we have to use what we have in our country just to relieve the patient's problem. Okay.
Tell them about the holy water.
Yeah, the holy water. The holy water also, it is the spiritual treatments which is used by the Orthodox Christians people. They are believe in holy water, and it is found in the church, and it is nature-made water. So they are using that water for the treatment of any kinds of disease as well as pain relief. So if the patient wants that, we are not refuse that the patients to use. But what we do is, when the patient is using this holy water, especially if the patient is starting this antiretroviral drug, they might, you know, drop their antiretroviral drug, not to use it, because they think that they are relieved from the disease. So that will cause a lot of problem for the patient. So we just try to explain for the patient. And also we are using the spiritual leaders to explain to the patient that he should not drop his antiretroviral drug. He can use holy water together with the drug. So it helps us to work with the spiritual leaders.
And Sister Rose and I have been traveling across the state of Tennessee, and through a 5-hour car ride, I've learned a lot about Ethiopia. Tell them about the coffee ceremony.
Yeah. You know, I would like, I brought the ceremony, which shows the picture, it was good, but I'm just trying to explain what it is. You know, the coffee ceremony, by the way, it is the traditions of Ethiopians. And this coffee ceremony is helping us just to have discussion with the patients. We can do it with the inside the patient's house or around the patient's house. We just called the neighbors while we are doing this coffee ceremony, and we just pass educations, awareness creations, and just to search what the patients have, what problem the patients have. That is it. That is what we just doing. It helps. It helps a lot for us to solve the patient's problem.
Yeah. And utilize them to better educate the community.
Yeah.
Just as many of you here probably have a hobby ritual every morning, this is something that's a little more elaborate than running through Starbucks. There's a decorative element to it.
Yeah.
There's a community to it, and it's the traditional time where people exchange information. And as we're facing all of the different challenges of the stigmatization of the
yes.
disease, misunderstanding, a great opportunity to educate as well as to normalize for the patient something that some stability in life.
Yeah, thank you for explanation again. And this pharmacological management, when we see this pharmacological management of pain, we are using what is available in our country. After we scale up the patient's pain, after assessment, when the patient pain is mild pain, we are using ibuprofen and paracetamol just to alleviate the pain. And when it is moderate pain, we are using opioid analgesic, which is available in our country. It is codeine, together with the paracetamol or adjuvant analgesics. But for severe pain, we have problem. I have told you that. For severe pain, it is very difficult to use morphine. We have morphine, by the way, in our country, but it is not used by the doctors. As I told you, the doctors are not believe that to order the morphines for the patients, because they instead of alleviating the pain, they are thinking for the addiction. So it's very difficult for us to use this morphine. So it needs training and just to make and scale up their knowledge. And also we have chemotherapy and radiotherapy just to pilot the patient's pain whenever it is necessary.
Sister Rose shared with me that morphine is expiring on the shelf.
Yeah, yeah.
the need for education and understanding is
very important. Yeah. As I told you, yeah, the morphine is available in our country, but nearly it will expire without using for the patients. Here, what we have seen is, just to show you that the hospice care is done in our hospice center. One patient is admitted here in the hospice, and within the project life, we just admit 80 patients in the hospice center. And especially this, the one who is sitting is, she's HIV/AIDS positive, and she's diagnosed by pulmonary tuberculosis and heart failure. And also she developed ascites. And she has difficulty of breathing. So we just refer her to the hospital just to get support. But because of non-availability of bed, they couldn't admit her in the hospital. So she just returned to her home, but we just kept her until she gets to the bed and gets treatments in the hospital. She is staying in our hospice. And the other things which you have seen is we are using the community volunteers for our service. When you say community volunteers, these volunteers are recruited from the community by the community-based organizations. We have a network with the community-based organizations, and We give training for the community-based organization leaders, and we just set the criteria to select these community volunteers who are volunteer and able to give the care for the patient at home. So after they recruit by the criteria, they send the community volunteers for training. So we give training for the community volunteers for 21 days. The necessary things which enable them to care the patients at home level, like nursing care, just to give wound care and bed baths, massage the patients, and controlling whether the patient is getting his medication properly or not, whatever. And they did their visits 3 times in a week, and their reports once in a week for us. So we just discussed what problem the patients have, and we will solve together. Here we just see that when they are getting the 21 days training, and when they are graduates and pledge in front of the community when they are graduates.
Sister Rosa, aside from the volunteers that are caring for the patients, how many other staff members do you have?
By the way, I don't have staff in my hospice. I am the only one permanent staff in my hospice because I have lack of resource to hire the personnel. And I'm just using the care these community volunteers with me. So this is the problem.
They're
yeah, it's very important. And these pictures are showed us that one of the community volunteers went to the patient's house, and she just massaged the patient's hands and give care for the patients. As I told you before, I have 168 HIV/AIDS patients, and I have 36 volunteers for the time being. And they are using the kits. Yeah. They are using the kits. As you see here, the kits are having the necessary equipment which are using for their service when they are go to and give care for the patient at home. Here, what we see is just the survivors are discussing each other about their problem and just to educate each other. We have, this is very helpful, that because, you know, instead of us to give their educations, they are really very much comfortable to discuss each other about their problem and how they are solving their problem. So we just had 4 sessions, these supporting groups discussions. And our patients are, about 62 patients are getting World Food Program support. So the support is giving another site. So the food is brought to the patient's house by community volunteers every month. So also we are supporting 338 orphans under my organizations, and these 338 orphans are living in their house by together with their mother or father, or those who are lost both, they are supported by the guardians and extended families. So we got the fund for these children's from HIV prevention and control program and World Food Program. World Food Program gave the food for these children, and HIV prevention and control program, provide them from the Global Fund uniform and school materials. So we just provide and facilitate for those orphans. And as I told you before, we are using the community-based organizations. Here what you are looking is when they are getting the leadership training and graduates just receive the certificates from the board member, the board chairperson. And this community-based organizations leaders are strictly working with us, because community involvement ensures the sustainability of the project, definitely, because we have lack of resource. We cannot fulfill our patients' needs. So what they do is they are looking the problem of the patients in the community level and also the orphans' problem, and they are just try to solve the problem of the patients. And they set action plan, and every month they are reporting what they have done, and every 3 months we are evaluating what they have already done it. And also we are doing community mobilization and sensitization. This is why we are doing this community mobilization and sensitization is the first thing is just to educate the community about the HIV/AIDS, just to scale up their knowledge about the transmissions and how the disease is transmitted and how it's not transmitted. Because unless the community knowledge is scale up about the disease, they are not support our patients, the neighboring patients even. So that's why we just do this activity all the time. And also we are giving the workshop, as I told you before, for the spiritual leaders, just to show you the workshop sessions here. And why we are using the spiritual leaders just to give this workshop is just to help us whenever the patient needs spiritual support. And this activity showed you that what I'm just mentioned before. This photo is showed you that the orphans, those who are attending schools, we provide uniforms, and they wear their uniform and took the photograph with us. About 256 orphans are engaged in the school, and we provide the uniform for them. And this mother, the mother and the child, just to show you that how this child is, you know, feel about her mother, because her mother is HIV positive mother, and she has a lots of problems. She has social problems, psychological problems. So whenever this child is seeing her mother's problem, she is really depressed. So just to show you that, how the problem is. And here, what we have done is, thanks for antiretroviral drug. Most of our patients are not bedridden patients. They can help themselves if they got the work to be done. So this lady, one of our patients, and she took training with this handcrafts, and she did this handcraft for herself for her foods and house rent, whatever. So this is very much helpful for our patients. And our plan is just to engage our patients with the work. So after we are doing all this work, we have challenge. So what are the challenges faced by the Hospice Ethiopia Associations? The Hospice Ethiopia Association is faced a lot of challenge. One challenge is the project beneficiary have many needs, but we often cannot fulfill their basic needs such as food, shelter, clothing. This is a very big issue in our country. I have seen Caris Healthcare patients. They are really, they have got a good chance. They are not worried about food, shelter, and this clothing things. And Caris provides them everything, and they are very lucky. I wish that my patients are getting all these things in my country. And lack of knowledge about the use of opioid drugs for severe pain. This, as I told you, that unless the health professionals got training and scale up their knowledge about opioid drugs, it is very difficult to use for our patients. So this is also one challenge of Hospice Ethiopia. And the very big challenge for Hospice Ethiopia is a limited resource. Because of limited resource, we cannot hire the essential personnel who run the organizations, like coordinators, administration staffs, nurses, doctors. We need all this, but we cannot hire. And also the medications, which is given for our patients whenever it is necessary. What are the possible solutions then? The possible solution is just we set some points here. Just look for funds to fulfill human and financial material needs. Still, we are looking for funds. We are searching everywhere, and we are looking for answers. And established of official fundraising committee. This is very helpful. I want to establish here and in my country. I already started in my country fundraising committee because this will help the especially to mobilize local fund is very helpful to solve our problem. And also make the patient productive self-help program. What I have told you before, just is they are okay and they can do. So if they can do, we have to, you know, make them productive. So we have to think about income generating activity and looking for fund just to engage our patients in that activity. And also continue advocacy work within Ethiopia internationally as well as nationally. It's very important because palliative care is not known much in our country. It needs very, very continuous advocacy just to be recognized that it is a public health issue and a very necessary, essential work of a continuum of care and comprehensive care. And also we just try to a strong linkage with partner organizations like Caris as an example. We are partners with Caris, and I hope our partnership will be strong for the future. Thank you.
I'm just consistently impressed with, I mean, in the face of an epidemic and in the, you know, against great adversity, Sister Rose is able to string together, you know, what she can to make sure that she's caring for as many people as she can. And I really thank you. In approaching a time of Thanksgiving in this country, it's amazing. End of life is never easy for anyone, and that's a difficult challenge to face. But if with all these additional difficulties, I'm impressed and humbled by your care and attachment to purpose. It's amazing. I wanted to offer opportunity for anyone to ask questions. I also wanted to share with y'all that Sister Rose doesn't have an automobile. And she's caring for people in one of the sub-cities in Addis Ababa, covering about a 5-10 kilometer area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's caring for 168 patients in a very small area. So does anyone have any questions for Sister Rose? Yes, sir.
First of all, the patient who is referred to our hospice is those who have those who needs our support, like physical support, especially social support, and also the psychological support and spiritual support. They are referred from the hospital, and the problem is, you know, they are getting, for example, if the patient is HIV/AIDS patient, positive patient, that patient is getting his medication like antiretroviral drugs in the hospital. We are not giving antiretroviral drug in our setup. When the doctor said to him that you have to start this antiretroviral drug, he said, I don't have food. I don't have anything. So how can I start, he said. So we have linkage with the hospitals, and they know that our work. So they just referred him by the referral paper to us. And we will facilitate for that patients to start this antiretroviral drug by getting foods and by solving his problem. We are not the only one to solve his problem. Maybe we are just solve one part and we are linking the other part, just like what I mentioned before, just to pass the information to the community-based organizations. Maybe he might have a problem of shelter or to pay the house rents, whatever. So they will facilitate for that patient. So just we are doing like that because of lack of resource.
Would his where he resides be a restriction for whether or not you would be able to take him under your care?
Yeah.
And would there be any situation where a patient might not be? I mean, I know you're doing palliative care as well as hospice. So
yeah.
I mean, depending on what the scenario was, I mean, some people that are under palliative care may not necessarily get 3 visits a week. Is that correct?
Yeah. But it should be visited, you know, whether the patient is able to work and he's okay. Why we are visiting the patient is just to follow that the patient is okay. As you know, the HIV/AIDS is a trajectory disease. Maybe the patient is okay, tomorrow he will not. So we have to follow the condition of the patient. And also the patient might have not taking his drug properly and he will be in problem. So the community volunteers are strictly follow that patient the time he came and engaged our organizations.
Would there be a time when you didn't take a patient?
Yeah. Because we have, you know, limitations. We cannot admit because of lack of resource sometimes. Nowadays, I'm just stopped in 168 patients because I'm just looking for resource without getting anything for the patients. What is the use of, you know, receiving the patients? That is... person. You mean our patients or? What can I say? I can't tell you in person, but they have nothing, you know? They have nothing because... Even they might eat once in a day or something like that because they don't have anything. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, as I told you, in our country, by the way, there is a drug controlling agency who is controlling every drugs, especially the opioids. The opioids are written in the essential drug book, so the doctor can give for the patients, which is, you know, if it is listed in the essential drug, they shouldn't be afraid of giving for the patient. The problem is, you know, they are not believing it. They are not believing it. They don't mind about the pain of the patients. You know, they are not considering it as it is necessary. That is a problem. So these things will be, you know, solved by, I think, in my view, it is solved by training. They have to get training, and they have to know that the necessary of pain management. Am I answering your question? Yeah.
I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B. There's some misunderstanding as well as some more of an irrational fear that with the chronic nature of the disease that there could be some addiction.
I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry.
The patient doesn't know, so we don't know whether the patient is have fear or not. But we know that the doctors have this problem. Yeah. We have a lot of cancer patients in our country, but they are suffering. They are not getting anything for their pain. So... excuse me, that we are not educating them. You mean the workshop? I got you. You know, we have different religions in our country: Muslim, Orthodox, Protestants, Catholic, whatever. But they are respected each other. Yeah. And also why we are doing this is our patients also have different religion. And we need supports of every religion. That's why we are giving this workshop for all. and just to explain what we are, you know, doing our work and why we need them. And just to have a network. And whenever we need them, we can get them if we work together. That's why we just give this workshop for them. Am I answering? Yeah. Yeah, they are respecting each other. Okay. You know, palliative care ward even is not known. Before I got, the training. And nowadays, you know, it seems that people are knowing it, even the ward. So whenever the patients have problem of just to have palliation, they are using wherever. It can be holy water or it can be anything which is relieved from their suffering. So I know palliative care after I got the training. So When I know that palliative care is a useful thing, that's why I'm just establishing it in my country. So people will be benefited now. And I'm just trying to advocate that palliative care is, it's not an alternative, healthcare system. It is a comprehensive healthcare system. So I'm just trying to advocate in my country and to get these patients proper care and quality of service by getting pain relief and symptom management.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
I couldn't hear you. In my hospice? I have nothing. Me only. In my hospice, I am the only one. But whenever the patient is admitted in my hospice, I have the volunteer worker who is helping me, a doctor. He's not hired, but he will come as a part-time and just visit the patients and just to alleviate the patient's problem. In 2003. Yeah, it is established in 2003.
Folks, thank you very much. Sister Rose will be at the reception, so if you do have any other questions, I'd love for you to come and introduce yourself and say hello and ask her in person. And once again, I want to thank Vanderbilt and want to remind you to fill out your surveys.
And the reception's going to be in the North Lobby if you don't already know that.
North Lobby. Thank you.